You're going to want to hear this. Our next in-person mastermind is coming up and we're doing things a little differently. Tickets are available to everyone, no membership required. Picture this, a day and a half of learning, networking, and problem solving with like-minded law firm owners who are as passionate about building the best law firm possible as you are. We'll kick things off with a presentation from sales and marketing expert Dave D. If you don't know Dave, be sure to go back to episode 605 of the Maximum Lawyer podcast to hear him share how lawyers can stand out in a crowded market. Following his keynote and Q&A are the Mastermind Hot Seats. Every attendee has the opportunity to dive deep into their business obstacles with their mastermind group and coach. There's nothing like the energy of being with other driven law firm owners who are just as committed to their success as you are. We believe that nothing beats working on your firm in person, so join us in Charlotte on July 15th and 16th. This is your chance to break through barriers, gain fresh perspectives, and accelerate your law firm's success. Visit maxlawevents.com for full event details and to grab your ticket today.
Run your law firm the right way. This is the Maximum Lawyer Podcast. Your hosts, Jim Hacking and Tyson Mutrix. Let's partner up and maximize your firm.
Welcome
to the show.
Welcome back to the Maximum Lawyer Podcast. I'm Jim Hacking.
And I'm Tyson Mutrix. What's up, Jimmy?
I'm great. You want to go ahead and introduce our guest?
I absolutely do. Our guest today is Margot Thomas. And Margot is an experienced lawyer and speaker with 15 plus years of experience representing individuals and small businesses in commercial and real estate litigation, including class action cases and numerous trials on behalf of both plaintiffs and defendants. We'll get into the rest of this in a little bit. Margot, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, before we go any further, though, so Margot is not spelled the normal way. It's M-A-R-G-E-A-U-X, which you might say is the normal way. Is it? Are you from Louisiana? Like where does the E-A-U-X come from? That's fantastic. I love it.
It has a French origin, but I'm not. My parents just like the spelling, but it throws a lot of people off, believe me. People mispronounce my name everywhere I go.
Well, Tyson's last name is M-U-T-R-U-X, so he probably gets a lot of the same mispronunciations that you do. Margot, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey, where you started from as far as law school and where you are now?
Well, first let me say, I started my firm in 2016, and this was one of the podcasts that I listened to when I started my firm, and I took so many tips from you guys. I feel like you guys are like the OGs, so I'm really honored to be here, and there are so many things that you talked about back then that I implemented that I'm really happy that I did because it really changed my small firm over the years. So I started my firm 8 years ago. Before that, I was practicing in a medium to big law firm with hundreds of attorneys and mainly representing banks, defending them in commercial litigation. And, I just always felt like, there was something else behind the curtain and something else that I wanted to do. And I took a very big leap of faith, 8 years ago. And here we are.
I mean, how's it been? I just want to kind of check in. What's the journey been like for you?
It has been amazing. I really like the business of law, and I didn't realize that. I had never run a business before, and there's such a learning curve from working for somebody in a big firm where you don't have to deal with the marketing or the HR or the management or any, none of that was second nature to me. And I felt like there was so much of a community that I wasn't even aware of until I, went out on my own, and there were so many people who were like, here's this resource and talk to this person. And, I just feel like I never would have experienced that, type of community had I not, switched gears a little bit and went a different direction. And, I hear people say they go back into a law firm because they hate these things, but I really enjoy them. I feel like it's interesting. It's thought provoking. It's very challenging. And, I feel like the practice of law is one thing, but the business of running a law practice is a whole nother thing. And, you either love it or you hate it. And, I think I'm fortunate enough that I got out here and I really like that piece of it. So,
what were the discussions that you had with yourself before you actually went out on your own? And then what did you think those first 10 days after you started your firm? What were you thinking?
I had a lot of mental back and forth about whether I could do this. And I originally was going out with a partner who was in the firm that I was at. And right before was supposed to start, he dropped out and said he couldn't do it and he was staying. And at that point, I was like, you know, I'm not sure if I can do this on my own. So that was a big part of it. And whether I had the confidence, whether I could do it, I just catastrophized the whole thing as to I'm going to be like desolate and homeless and jobless and, you know, no money. Like, and my husband was just like, listen, you can just get another job. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you know, it's not the end of the world. If it doesn't work out, pivot. So, you know, just stop, you know, over catastrophizing the situation. So that was certainly, you know, the thought process going into it. And then, you know, I just had to take a look in the mirror and tell myself a lot of positive affirmations that I could do it. And then it was crazy. Like, after I was like, I really quit my job and I really liked my job and it was a very lucrative job. And I was sitting at my dining room table, like, I have no job and I don't know. I didn't have a lot of clients. I didn't have a book of business. I was like, this could have been the worst decision, but I was there at that point and it's, you know, sink or swim. So, you know, it worked out.
How long did it take to get your feet under you where you're to the point where like, okay, I can do this. This is okay. You know, like it did, I mean, did it hit right away or did it take some time? Talk about that a little bit.
A few days after I quit, one of the biggest cases that I was working on, that client decided to come with me. And I didn't know that was going to happen until I left. In fact, I was just like, yeah, I'm leaving everything because these aren't my clients. But they were like, we want to continue to work with you. That was, that made my first year. That one client, that one case made my first year. And those people were, you know, small business owners who had, you know, built a franchise, you know, that was very successful. But I think they saw a little bit of themselves when they started in me, which I'm very fortunate for. I didn't know that they were going to do that at all. You know, it really changed the trajectory of that first year. And it gave me some time to reach out to my network and build a pipeline. And, you know, I was just really fortunate that that happened. So, you know, that one case and then, you know, just telling everybody that I knew, this is what I do. If you know anybody who needs it. And at that point, I would literally take any case. So it didn't even matter. I mean, I would drive an hour to speak to somebody to get a case because I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a lot of boundaries as far as any. I just wanted to bring in money. I wanted to bring in cases. I'd figure it out. So at that point, I would take anything and I was telling anybody I would take anything and people would call me and, you know, I would take the cases.
What areas of practice have you focused on?
So I consider myself a business divorce lawyer. So that's what I do. We do business divorces. Businesses that are breaking up, there are a lot of small family-owned businesses, you know, partners, spouses, children, a lot of family disputes that unfortunately, you know, there's some larger communication issue or personality dispute that is causing them to go their separate ways. So we help them sort that out and move forward and purchase the rest of the business or sell their part of the business and move forward. So that's what I do.
Have you given any thought to maybe like in the next 10 years, like what that looks like, 20 years, the shape of the firm? I'm just curious how far you've dreamt and how far you've gotten into that goal.
So I think the future looks like me moving out of the legal work, the day to day, and really focusing more on the management and the growth of the firm and the, you know, retaining talent, finding talent, training talent, that type of thing, marketing the firm, because those are the things that I've really grown to love a lot, you know. And I thought, you know, I really had an internal conflict about that for a long time because, you know, I like practicing law, but I really do enjoy the business side of things. And, you know, I've had younger lawyers who have, you know, started here and went to law school, and I'd like to see them grow, you know, with the firm. And I want to be a part of that. And I just want to kind of hone those leadership skills so that I can, you know, build a firm that I love, that, you know, other people can prosper in.
I really like your niche, and I'm wondering, content-wise, it just seems something that would be really amenable to content that regular people could consume. I mean, just the idea of business divorce, to me, you summed up your entire practice in 2 words. And I just think that, you know, you could keep an eye out on news stories about business breakups. I think that that you could tell your own stories. What kind of content creation strategy have you had around that? Because I just think there's probably stuff in the news every day.
I do a lot on LinkedIn. That is our major platform. So we post a lot there about, you know, situations that people find themselves.
Are you tired of the marketing guessing game? Does your website feel more like a digital billboard than a client magnet? If you're nodding along, you're not alone. And it's time to stop the uncertainty and start getting real results. Let's talk about your marketing spend. Are you just shelling out money every month and crossing your fingers? Do you ever wonder what impact your marketing is really having on your revenue? Well, it's time to take the guesswork out of the equation with Rise Up Media. We've been working with them for over a year, and the feedback from our fellow members has been fantastic. Rise Up Media is here to take your marketing to the next level. They'll even perform a full audit of your online presence, giving you the good, the bad, and even let you in on what your competition is up to that you're missing out on. And the best part, there's no obligation, no catch, no pressure. If you decide to work with them, their contracts are month to month. That's right. No long-term commitments tying you down. So what are you waiting for? To learn more about how Rise Up Media can transform your firms, visit riseupmedia.com/maxlaw, and rise is spelled with a Z. riseupmedia.com/maxlaw.
And how to navigate that, and the just the emotional part of it, because you know, a lot of these people have underlying relationships. They've known, you know, they've been friends since grade school, you know, and then they decided to go out on their own and they built a very successful business, but they can't get past this roadblock with their partner. So our whole platform is talking about, you know, what it feels like to go through that situation, and you know, the tools that are out there and resources, and you know, just to tell people, you know, we've understand, we're business owners, we've been there, this is what we help people with.
So given your experience with what you do, and then also you were about to partner with someone and then they decided not to do it, I do wonder, have you given any thought to maybe adding a partner at some point? And then also on top of that, what advice would you give to people considering partnering up with someone else? I'm really curious what your advice would be.
I think that I would partner with someone at this point. I mean, I like the autonomy of not having a partner. I realize that about myself. And, you know, I love the personality test. I'm a very high D, like, you know, when it comes to DISC and the dominant profile. So, you know, I enjoy that and I understand that about myself. And I don't honestly want to share that with anybody, but I do want to grow the firm and bring in people who can prosper in this environment. So for me, I don't think, you know, I think that worked out in my favor. At the time, it didn't seem that way. But after years of, you know, reflecting on that, I think that was the best possible thing that could happen, because it made me develop a lot more self-confidence in what I could do that I might not have been able, you know, who knows what would have happened if we had went forward. But, you know, and, you know, I just had somebody contact me yesterday and they're like, I'm considering a partnership. What would you say? You know, you deal with all the ones that fail, so you should have a great idea. I was like, you know, it's very much like a regular marriage. Like, you know, I could write the prenup for you and get all the legal stuff in order, but like, you need to go to premarital counseling. You know, you need to talk about the financial things. Like, do you want to grow it? Do you want to pocket the distribution? Like, are you guys have the same risk tolerance? Because, you know, those are things that come up in every marriage that create people going through divorces. You know, it's the exact same thing, especially in family businesses or you know, spouses that go out of business or really good friends. They have the exact same issues that you have in your marriage, that, you know, you just feel like you're not heard. You feel like you're alone. You know, you feel like you're doing it all. Like, those are the same things that people repeat in, you know, in a real marriage. So my advice to them is, you know, yes, get an operating agreement. That's going to help you. Or, you know, there are ways to, you know, protect yourself financially in this situation. Get a prenup. Yes. But you really need to figure out whether you like this person, whether you can work with this person. And, you know, that's going to determine, you know, you can have a very successful business, but hate each other. And, you know, that can affect your mindset and a lot of other things that cause you to be very unhappy in this business situation. So I tell people, there's a lot of business coaches out there who can talk both of you through that process of getting to know whether you are on the same page before you go into this marriage, this business marriage together.
So Jim is a big believer in like the Kolbe score. Like, would you recommend, because you mentioned DISC, I mean, would you recommend potential partners doing some sort of testing before they get involved in a partnership?
Absolutely. I told, you know, that I had the exact conversation yesterday, because I was like, you know I'm a high D, and if I were to meet, my husband took DISC too, because I'm his proponent. He's an S and a C, right? We balance each other very well, you know? And if you are both very high D's and that tends to be the person who goes out and starts their own law firm, there can be a lot of conflict there with, you know, law firm, you know, solos coming together because they both have this very dominant trait and want to do things their way. So, yes, I think that's something that's a conversation starter for, you know, a lot of things.
I'm wondering if you've had any situations involving law firms in particular, whether there are things that you've learned in those cases involving law firms, because I would think that just like lawyers can be extra nasty to their spouses when they go through a marital divorce, that's probably true in a business divorce. So what advice do you have for everybody who might find themselves in a partnership they're not so happy about?
Yes, I've certainly had law firm breakups, and those tend to be even more contentious because there are lawyers involved. So they say that lawyers make the worst clients. I wouldn't say that about the ones that I've represented some great lawyers, but, you know, they want to be involved in all the details, and even if it's not their, you know, practice area, it just makes it very contentious and difficult. And, you know, those are particularly difficult, I will say, to unwind, even if the financial part is not difficult. There's a lot of emotional, you know, there's just a lot of emotional issues that have to be worked through. You know, I think that I've represented people in all different fields, you know, doctors and lawyers, and, you know, they have a lot, like I said, they have a lot of the same traits. There are a lot of different things, creative things that people can do to hurt each other. But, you know, in all of these cases, the underlying issue is, you know, this is a business decision. And I know you know this person, and I know there's some emotion involved, but, you know, this isn't about your children. You know, this is about money. And this is about a business. And you have to put on the same hat that you put on to come into this business, to make it successful, to get out of this business, and try to just get them to focus on that aspect.
Some of the advice I got was before, you know, partnering was a couple things, like don't expect to be with friends with them after the partnership ends. Oh, that was one thing. And then always when you draft your operating agreement, you make sure that you do it with the end in mind. So I don't know if that's good advice or bad advice. I know that's good. That's advice that I received. But if you were to go back to 2016, would you have done anything differently from how you've done it? And if so, what advice would you give yourself?
I hired sooner. I did a lot. I did everything, everything on my own for a very long time. And I was listening to some of your podcasts about no unscheduled phone calls. I used to answer the phone. People call and just, I'm the first person on the phone. Like, how can I help you? There's no consult fee. There's no anything. I was like, why am I doing this? I gotta stop doing this. But, you know, I did that for a long time. And I think that if I had put some of those things in place, the process in place a little bit earlier, it would have saved me. You know, I worked way too much. I mean, I was doing the business of law. I was doing the law. I was working weekends. I was working, you know, holidays, vacations, weekends. And that wasn't good for my mental health. I had two small kids. I have twins. They were two at the time I started this firm. It wasn't good for my marriage. It wasn't good for my kids. I mean, you know, I learned a lot doing that, that, you know, that's not sustainable. So I think that if I had put more faith in my ability to build a team earlier on, I could have taken some of those things off of my plate earlier.
So what do the next couple of years look like? What's your plan? What are you going to do as far as developing more business or growing and stepping away from some of the practice? What are your goals?
Bring in some more A team members, work very closely with my recruiter to find some great talent, train them, retain them, you know, spend some time working on marketing, which is really what I love to do.
We've been talking about A players quite a bit, and we've mentioned on the podcast quite a bit lately too, but I do have noticed a little bit that sometimes the not so A players think that they're A players, which makes it a little bit more difficult in the hiring process. And so like there's like the salary expectations and things like that, whenever they're applying, we have seen sort of a weird phenomenon going on right now. But I wonder what's it like for you for hiring? Cause like with it's interesting cause like PI for us, it's just weird. It's just a different, I feel like this is just a different breed of attorney that wants to be a PI lawyer versus like a criminal defense lawyer versus like real estate. So I wonder what the market is like for you all in hiring, and if you find it to be like good market right now, bad market, what are your thoughts?
It's a good market right now, but I just think hiring in general is so difficult. It is so difficult. I mean, I've hired so many people that were like, you know, I want to be a paralegal. And then they get in there and then they're in law school in 2 months. And I was like, you know, and they're leaving. And I was like, I asked that question 5 times during the interview. And you're like, no, I'm a career paralegal. And you're at the same time filling out your law school LSAT and all that, you know. So it's very hard. And people, you know, change their minds and they're multifaceted. They have a lot of needs. And, you know, just dealing with people is a very difficult part of, you know, keeping them happy and, you know, giving them what they want. And, you know, allowing them to feel heard is a huge part of the process. And figuring out who is a good fit and quickly so that you can get them out of there if they're not a great fit, which is something I have definitely, that is a mistake that I've made, kept people that I knew that were not a good fit way too long because I just didn't want to, you know, have the hard conversations. So, yeah, you know, I think it's a good market. I'm optimistic. I have a recruiter that I work with very closely and, you know, I'm optimistic that we'll bring in some great talent this year. You know, we'll see what happens, but I'm trying to look at it optimistically, so we'll see.
Do you do much for referrals, like from attorneys or from maybe the attorneys that work on, you know, setting up these companies? Does any business come that way?
Absolutely. We get a lot of referrals because a lot of people don't want to touch these type of cases or, you know, they're just transactional attorneys. One of the first attorneys I met when I started this firm was like, I do transactional law. I don't want to go to court. I was like, we are match made in heaven. Great. You know, and he sent me so much business. And I don't know what he was doing with those cases before he met me, but it worked out very well for me when I was starting my firm. So, yes, I try to align myself with a lot of transactional attorneys who are in small firms who, you know, set up businesses and, you know, those businesses, they call them back and say, I have a contract dispute or I have a dispute with my partner or vendor or client. And we take those cases and it is a great referral relationship.
I love it. All right. So we are getting up against time. So I'm going to start to wrap things up. I there's something about you, Margo. I just like talking to you. You're just like so pleasant to talk to. So I love it. And I like to have I like to have people on that are not in the same practice area sometimes. So we can kind of, we mix it up. So it's really cool. I agree with Jim. I think it's a very good niche. So that's awesome. But I'm going to wrap things up. Before I do, I want to remind everyone, if you want to join us in the Guild, we would love to have you. Go to maxlawguild.com. If you've not yet joined the big Facebook group, do that. That's free. Just search Maximum Lawyer on Facebook and you'll be able to join us there. And if you've gotten something from this episode or any of our other episodes, if you give us a 5-star review, we would greatly appreciate it. Jimmy, what is your hack of the week?
I was listening to Benjamin Hardy talk the other day and he mentioned a book and the name of the book is Already Free. And it's about the intersection of psychotherapy and Buddhism. And my therapist is Buddhist and my coach is Buddhist. And so to get that book from a totally sideways way, I feel like I'm understanding the work that we've been doing together so much more fully and differently. And so my therapist was teasing me like, now you got the playbook. Now you know what I'm doing. But the explanations of why you go to therapy in the first half of the book are probably the best distillation of the value of therapy that I've come across. And so I'm just like a third through the book, but I'm really enjoying it.
I like it. You love that therapy, baby. You're all in on it. All right, Margo, if someone wants to get a hold of you, let's say that they're thinking about a partnership or getting out of a partnership and they want to consult with you, what's the best way of reaching out to you?
ThomasLawPLC.com is our website. 703-957-2577 is our phone number. So give us a call, or there's a ton of resources on our website and ways to contact us.
Cool. We'll put that in the show notes too, so that people don't have to write so fast. All right. So before we get to your tip or hack of the week, do you have like a favorite episode? I'm just curious because you've been listening like for a long time. So can you think of one?
I honestly think it was the no unscheduled phone calls and, you know, just putting a barrier between myself and, you know, just being interrupted constantly. And that extended to emails, you know, just turning off that dinging emails so that every time an email comes in, you don't react and get distracted. And, you know, that was a huge shift for me because, you know, when I was in a big firm, the phone would ring at my desk, right? But it was very different than going out on your own and, you know, everybody having your number and potential clients calling. I mean, we were representing banks, so, you know, it wasn't like my phone was ringing all day. So it took me a little bit. I heard that episode and I definitely was like, you know, I need a call service or an intake person or something so that I can focus on the deeper work. And I really think I still do that today. I don't even have a phone that rings on my desk anywhere.
Love it.
So I like that.
All right. Do you have a tip or a hack for us?
So a book, Domestic Assistant Advantage, that I read a while ago, it's by Steve Riley, who started Atticus. You know, I just having someone when I was in my law firm, I spent a lot of time in the firm, and I was like, you know, my kids, I couldn't keep up with their, you know, dress down days and bring this to school day and blah, blah, blah. You know, just hiring someone just as a personal assistant to deal with all that calendaring has allowed me to expand my reach, and I can be on boards and I can coach a team and I can make sure that my kids are in the right outfit when they get to school because I have somebody who deals with all those details, which I was completely not able to do. So just having that domestic assistant, not a legal assistant, but somebody who just deals with the personal stuff has been a game changer.
I like that. That's a really good one. All right. We get to my tip of the week. So I don't know if you've been on this. I'm sure a lot of people have heard this, but something I had not thought about until fairly recently is using Temu for office supplies. You can get super cheap stuff on Temu for I'm talking like super dirt cheap. So before you go and buy something for your office, whether it's equipment, it could be a power cable, whatever, like you name it, go to Temu first. And you like something that might cost you like $20 on Amazon is like $2 on Temu. It might take you a couple weeks to get it, but I'm telling you, it is a way like saving like a lot of money. So just my two cents, T-E-M-U. But Margo, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. It was definitely a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Maximum Lawyer Podcast. To stay in contact with your host and to access more content, go to MaximumLawyer.com. Have a great week and catch you next time.